I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. The war in Syria has grabbed headlines for much of the past 4 years, but the voices of everyday people still living inside the country are hard to find in the news. Journalists have little access, and even when reporters do get inside, most Syrians are afraid to express a view that doesn't echo the rigid opinions of either the government or the armed opposition. But nuanced voices still exist in Damascus. I spoke with one resident of the capital today who uses the pseudonym Asayed Ward. She told me she hears the sound of shelling every day.
It's not easy. And if someone told me 4 years ago that you will live in a place where the shelling is going on, I mean, sometimes 24 hours, sometimes now, as I told you, for the last 2 months, it was less, but we hear it each few hours. I mean, we can hear shelling. But if someone told me that you will live in such a place, I would say that who's this crazy person who's gonna live in such a place? But I found myself living there for 4 years, and you just, I mean, adapt with it. Otherwise, you can't keep thinking of it 24 hours. Otherwise, you will live in this tension and this anxiety. So you can't live with it. You have to find a way to adapt it, to forget it maybe for a while.
What is the emotional price that you pay by adapting?
I think you lose part of your humanity. I mean, to live in such conditions and to accept that, unfortunately, sometimes even you might thank to God that it is, for instance, if shelling happened in an area very close to you and a child of someone else was killed or hit by a shelling, so you would say, oh, thanks, it's not my child.
Yeah.
Someone else is losing his child or someone of his close family. I don't know. Once it happened that I left an area and it was shelled, I mean, minutes after I left. But nothing happened to me personally, to be honest.
Asayed, when the uprising first started, the Arab Spring, and Syria became swept up in that, were you one of those people advocating for greater democracy in Syria?
Yeah, for sure. And this is what we were hoping. Unfortunately, we couldn't achieve that. And unfortunately, the whole country, I mean, went to this dark tunnel.
Those beliefs of yours, I don't know if they're still alive in your heart, in your head. But like, if you go into the cafes and restaurants in Damascus right now, would you be free to speak your opinion about democracy? Can you say what you think?
No, not for sure. For sure, it's not possible unless I want to be in jail in a few minutes. 2 years ago, it was, I mean, people start to feel that they are braver and they can say what they want. They can pay this price. But now, I mean, to be honest, it's becoming more and more complicated. Even those who started the whole thing with us and they believed in these things, some of them now think that they need just a choice between the worst devils, which is either the regime or the extremists. Which I don't think personally that it is a true. I mean, I think we need to continue working to keep this civil society alive. I mean, otherwise, if we just give up, I mean, we will end somewhere, I mean, worse than where we are now. In the street, what I can notice lately, that this is the silent hatred among the people. They are easily provoked. People can, for something very silly, start becoming very angry. They can use their physical power or something like this just to fight against each other. I can feel that because they can't express this otherwise, I mean, in different way or other ways. So they are just using this against each other. Also at work, you can find that people becoming more and more tense.
So the great desires of Syrians for democracy in their country have just been put on hold indefinitely. Why stay in Damascus if democracy is really what you're waiting for?
At the end of the day, this is my country, and I want to find this democracy in my country, and I want to find to it for this reason. The only reason I might, I mean, leave a country for a while for it is just to continue my higher education. This is one of the things that might push me to leave the country, but not something else. I still think that we can do, I mean, lots of things here for people, for ourselves, for the country itself. And otherwise, I'm not willing to leave. I don't want to become a refugee. Here in Syria, we say that there's no place in the earth that can provide you with respect other than your country. And I think this is something a bit true. This is where you live, where you know the people, where you know everything. where you have your friends, your relatives, though most of them now left. But I mean, I still have all these memories, the things that we grow up with. This is the country where we start with and we want to end with.
So your future is in Syria then. What keeps your hopes positive for the future?
There are lots of people like me, I mean, working for the country and want to find a positive solution for this whole mess. I'm sure this is very hard, and I'm sure it looks not rational, maybe in this dark tunnel now. But if everyone left, we will leave this country either to the regime or to those extremists to control. And I think we, as Syrian and with others, we deserve that better place. I think there is lots of example in Europe, America, wherever you go, that for countries that went in a very dark tunnels for a long time and then they reached what they want. And it used to be a good country, though we didn't have lots of democracy, but I mean, people are very nice and I'm sure that we need to fight for a long time, but we will find our way.
Asayed Ward, speaking with me from Damascus. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot. This is very nice of you too. And it was my pleasure.